This is Susan V. Brock of Telluride Inside and Out. I'm speaking once again with Scott Blossom. Scott is a yoga instructor and Ayurvedic consultant. He's attending the third annual Telluride Yoga Festival with his wife, Chandra Easton, and the two of them will be everywhere you want to be. Scott, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Susan.
So, oh, and I should add that you're on the board of the Telluride Yoga Festival, and you were the very first teacher of national acclaim to sign up when the event first began. Okay, so last year, following the birth of your son, Tejas, am I saying that correctly?
Correct, yes.
You made some major changes to orient your life more towards more in the San Francisco Bay Area. How have all of those changes been going?
It's been really excellent. Because of my background in traditional Chinese medicine as well as Ayurveda, I have a lot of therapeutic modalities that I use with yoga as well as acupuncture, herbology, etc. And so settling into that practice again, I had taken about a 6-year break from really, you know, being a kind of full-time doctor, and so I'm really, really enjoying that experience, but I also have really enjoyed the continuity of working with students, teaching yoga to them in a kind of sangha or community where, you know, I get to see them week in and week out, and the relationships grow very deeply, and the humor gets, you know, more rich, and it's just it's really enjoyable.
Wonderful, wonderful. At the Telluride Yoga Festival, you are teaching a class called Tending the Fire that focuses on yoga and Ayurveda for building one's inner fire and healing. And then there's a second one all about, more on a more superficial level, healing and strengthening, or not so superficial, actually, bones, joints, and nerves.
Mm-hmm.
The classes seem to reflect your training as a yoga therapist and draw on your Ayurvedic background. Could you give a deeper description of each of them and how they interrelate?
Sure. The class on cultivating the inner fire, or in Sanskrit the word is Agni, is essentially the yoga tradition is dedicated to cultivating that kind of fire, because there is, it's in the sense, it's like the fire of life, and it's also the fire of recognition, spiritual recognition. So we use prana as the main tool, you could say, or the main substance, you know, the breath and the prana. But in many ways, what we're doing is we're enkindling the internal fire, much in the way a bellows enkindles a fire, and then we're also concentrating that fire and bringing it into a kind of maximum heat, where the transformational insights can arise. And so much, it's different than a kind of fire that burns down a house. It's more of a fire that burns away delusion and also really supports the body for optimal health, so that it becomes a vessel for supporting the shifts in awareness, because it is the fire, internal fire, that allows the physical level of being and the mental level of being, which are very different in their laws and their activities, to interpenetrate and mutually transform each other.
Sounds amazing. Absolutely amazing. The one on healing and strengthening bones, joints, and nerves, is that sort of the same answer, or is that a very different discipline and practice?
Yeah, it definitely is serving the same kind of purpose, because what tends to happen, and this is from an Ayurvedic perspective, is that when the prana is imbalanced, it becomes something called vata. And so vata is an aspect of prana, but it's the most unstable aspect of the life force. And so it's useful only temporarily, and we have to be able to eliminate it from our systems regularly. And so what we call it nowadays, vata imbalance and stress imbalances, are virtually synonymous. And so what tends to happen is that if somebody is in a stress state, or what we would call in Ayurveda, has a vata imbalance, the energy of the body tends to build up in the peripheral nerves. And so what that does is it makes the person more reactive, less stable mentally, but it also comes at a cost to these deeper tissues. And so metaphorically and actually, the system will start to harvest alkalizing minerals from the bones to sustain stress. And the system will also, of course, tax the nervous system and the adrenal glands, which support the stability of the nervous system, to manage the stress over if it persists in an unnatural or prolonged way. And so the class is, in a lot of ways, it's about teaching people to use the yoga practice to not only circulate the energy at the surface level, like with the blood and kind of getting a workout, but also how critical it is that when you do yoga, that the practice should also enrich the quality of the bones, deeply stabilize and fortify the nervous health of a person, their nervous system steadiness and balance, and that those things are not at odds with each other, but they can be if somebody overdoes the workout aspect of yoga,
yeah,
or underdoes the practice where they're not doing enough weight bearing or they're not having enough rigor in it, where the bones won't benefit because they need that kind of work as well.
Is there a heavier emphasis in the healing and strengthening the bones practice on pranayama, or in that second class, or are they equally weighted? Are the relationship between asana and pranayama equally weighted in both classes?
Yeah, the class on strengthening the bones, nerves, and joints has what I would call more of a, what you would call a samavritti ujjayi emphasis, which is about really keeping the breath even and having that be a kind of cornerstone to the way that you work in through a practice to strengthen the nerves, because the joints and the bones can be strengthened by skillful execution of the physical practice, but then the breath work really is what addresses the nerves and the energetic and the mental, emotional, and spiritual aspects of the practice. And so there's that emphasis on balancing is there. Whereas with the cultivating the internal fire, there is an emphasis on that kind of breath, but then there's also going to be an emphasis on breath retentions and starting to use the pause at the top of the inhale and the pause at the bottom of the exhale, particularly in seated forward bends and twists, as a way of really internalizing the senses, internalizing the mind to enkindle the fire of the mind for meditation.
Thank you very much for that very thorough answer. So then talk a little more deeply about the role of internal fire, the Agni, in a yoga practice, and what are some of the direct benefits of a strong inner fire?
Yeah, it's so in the same way that prana has a kind of superficial aspect, or a called vata, the internal fire has its most reactive form called pitta. And so what we're really exercising to do with the yoga practice is to reduce the pitta, which would be the waste heat in the system, the irritable heat, the heat that creates inflammation, that creates reactivity mentally and emotionally, creates irritability emotionally, even anger, creates all kinds of different kind of burning type of things, and then draw that fire into tissues where it really benefits those tissues. Like, for example, the bone marrow is like the volcano of the body. So it really benefits when it has a very good metabolic fire working at that level of the system, because the stem cells live there, and the tissues that are produced when the internal fire in the bone marrow is really strong are of excellent quality. And so from the Ayurvedic perspective, every single tissue layer from the blood and the muscles, the fat layer, the bones, the nervous tissue, the reproductive hormonal glands and organs, they all have their own internal fire. And so what you're really doing is learning to create a balanced practice so that all of those different tissue layers are functioning optimally. So some of the most direct benefits are going to be that your metabolic rate will come to its natural optimal rate, so you won't hold any more weight or any less weight than you're meant to. And then another part of that is that the mind becomes very, very luminous and very clear. So it leads to the ability to understand the relationships, the situations, the circumstances of your life, and act appropriately, act effectively in them. And then another sort of deeper layer to that is it really produces an inner stability, which I don't think a lot of people think of fire as being something that imparts stability, but what you can think about it is that there's two functions to metabolism. One is called catabolism, which is breaking down stored energy for energy for the system to use, and the other one is anabolic or anabolism, which is where you actually build up potential energy in the system for rejuvenation for use later. You know, it's like so those two functional qualities are, if you overdo, you will burn yourself out. And so that's literally being, you've burned things that you shouldn't burn because you've been requiring too much energy production. On the other hand, if somebody becomes too sedentary or they're underworking the body, then they can become stagnant and accumulate an excess of, it could be cholesterol in the endothelium, it could be excess fluids, it could be excess flesh. And so finding that subtle balance doesn't just have to do with how the body holds weight. It also has to do with the stability of the nervous system. It also has to do with the quality of being able to, for example, walk around and not feel like you're vulnerable to cold or heat in the same way. And the ancient texts talk about that when the inner fire really comes to a strong balance, then the person has less hunger and thirst, their desire, their ability to withstand cold and heat improves, their immunity becomes much stronger, as well as their sort of metabolic byproducts, their digestion becomes much more refined, so their feces and their urine also reduce, and it's a very peaceful state to be in because you're just functioning efficiently.
Thank you. So, bottom line, being able to manipulate and direct the inner fire directly correlates with physical, emotional, and at some level, spiritual health.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's the ultimate boon, is that when the inner fire is burning brightly, it is that fire that illuminates the spiritual nature to the person, so they understand themselves as a relative being, an individual with an ego and a limited identity and a body that's subject to life and death, but they also are able to glimpse and recognize that deathless nature, that spiritual nature that is beyond the limits of the personal.
And briefly, why did you decide to create a class that linked bones, joints, and nerves under one umbrella?
Mainly because that axis is, those are all tissues that are very strongly influenced by the prana and the vata dosha in Ayurveda. So it's a way of making correlations for people to say, hey, if your nervous system is under constant stress, you are very likely to have musculoskeletal problems that will be not necessarily unconnected to the stress that you're enduring. Or at the same way that the bone layer, it's the ability for the prana to circulate into the bones is what really stabilizes the nervous system, much in the same way the classic image is the way if you tie a stone to a bird's leg, it stays where it is. And so grounding the nervous system, having the bones be strong and healthy gives that kind of stable grounding so that you can move through the world in a centered way. And so it's just waking up people to those interconnections in their yoga practice.
Thank you very, very much. This has been Susan V. Bruck of Telluride Inside and Out, speaking with Scott Blossom, a mainstay of the Telluride Yoga Festival. Don't miss any of his classes. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.